You're listening to Crosspoint Community Church in LaGrange, Texas podcast. To learn more about Crosspoint Community Church, including service times and how you can connect, please visit crosspointchurchtx.org.
Good stuff, huh? Well, hey, once upon a time, there were three little pigs. And these three little pigs left home. Their parents launched them successfully. And part of this launching their children successfully, all three of them built a house. They got a job and they built a house. And as they all decided what kind of house they were going to build, they decided that they were going to build their houses differently. And so the first little pig built his house out of straw. And so one day the storms of life came, and the storms of life looked a lot like a wolf. And the wolf showed up to the pig's house, the first little pig that had a house built out of straw, and said, "Hey, little pig, let me in." The little pig looked through the little straw holes and said, "No, you might hurt me." And so the wolf, in his anger and frustration, he huffed and he puffed and he blew the house down. Well, the first little pig was frightened, and so he, in his scared state, ran to his other brother's house, who had built a house out of wood. And the youngest little brother that built his house out of straw showed up at his house and said, "Hey, there's going to be a wolf coming soon. We got to be prepared for this." So they got themselves ready. They were anxious and fearful. And the wolf showed up and knocked on the door and said, "Hey, let me in, little pigs." And the two little pigs together in unison said, "No, you might hurt me." So the wolf, being life, huffed and puffed and blew the wood house down. So now the two little pigs are frightened and scared, and they ran to the third brother's house, who had made his house out of brick. When they showed up, the other two brothers showed up to the brother's house and said, "Hey, there's going to be a wolf coming pretty soon. We need to be prepared." So the three pigs were scared together. And all of a sudden, the wolf knocked on the door and said, "Hey, pigs, let me in." And all three pigs in unison said, "No." Very good. Y'all are awake? "No." And so the wolf huffed and he puffed and he huffed and he puffed and he huffed and he puffed. And finally, he ran out of air. He was frustrated. He didn't know what to do. And in his frustration, he looked up and he saw a chimney. And so he climbed up on the roof and he got on the chimney, and the pigs could hear the wolf climbing on the chimney. And so they quickly built a fire in their chimney. And as you've seen the cartoon, the wolf jumps down into the chimney. And as he goes down rapidly, he lands on the fire on his hiney or his bottom. And immediately that catches fire, and he's like, "Woo!" and jumps out, and he springs up out of there, and he runs away, never to come back to bug the pigs again. Now, you're wondering, why in the world is Pastor Chris telling us a story? Because that is a parable. That is a story that tells a truth. This morning, this story ties in very well to the story that we're going to talk about with Jesus. Jesus talks about this idea of it matters how and when and why you build your house, just like the three little pigs. It matters the house that you build and the foundation that you build it upon. So this morning, we're going to be looking at a little bit in Matthew chapter 7. But before we do that, let's go to a verse that we've looked at over the last few weeks, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. And again, it's this idea that Jesus says, hey, on the one hand, there's life, and on the one other hand, there's death. The way of wisdom is to choose life. The way of foolishness is to choose death. And you have to make those decisions on a daily basis. And there's two paths. In Proverbs 14, 12, there is a path before each person that seems right that ends in death. Let me put it to you this way. There is a way to build your home that seems right but ends in death. There is a way to build your marriage that seems right but ends in death. There is a way to build a career that seems right but ends in death. You see what I'm saying? I mean, all throughout there's ways. On the one hand, there's life, and on the other hand, there's death. And in Proverbs 14:2, the author here tells us, those who follow the right path fear the Lord. And as we've talked about over the last few weeks, this idea of fear the Lord is relationally. That as we enter into a relationship with Jesus, this is relational, communal language. That as we spend more time with God the Father, as we spend more time with Jesus, We understand that he's jealous for us, that he loves us, that he has all these characteristics about him. We get to know those and understand those as best we can and know that God is for us, not against us. However, if you're outside of a relationship with God, some of the very same characteristics that draw us unto him have a distinct possibility of pushing people away from God because they misunderstand who God is. So it's this beautiful word that you've learned over the last couple of months, covenant. That is, we're in relationship with him and we covenant, we're drawn to him. And as we're drawn to him, we understand more and more about who God is. The opposite of covenant is to be pushed away, right? We push ourselves away. He doesn't push us away. We push ourselves away because we don't understand him. And so here we are, choice of life or choice of death. Our direction, not our intention, determines our destination. Or the other idea, the path to hell is paved with good, very good. Y'all know that very well. So here we are. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 7. Before we dig into the passage in Matthew 7:24, I'm going to give you a little bit of background. Is Matthew, the author of the book, the gospel, there's four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're each written by different guys. So they each have, all of them are disciples of Jesus, except Luke. Luke didn't walk with Jesus on a daily basis, but Matthew, Mark with Peter, and then John, they were with Jesus on a regular basis. And so they give their perspective of the Gospels of Jesus, the stories of Jesus and his teachings. So Matthew was with him from the very beginning. He's a tax accountant, so he's a detailed guy, okay? So as you look through there, he's also Jewish. And so his gospel, the reason that he writes is that he wants his Jewish friends and family to understand that Jesus is the Messiah of the Old Testament. And so he's constantly drawing people back to the Old Testament, wants them to see that, hey, the promises of Jesus, the promises of the Messiah are filled in the person of Jesus. And so that's the purpose of Matthew and why he wrote to a Jewish audience. So it has a Jewish flavor to it, maybe more than some of the other writings. And in Matthew, we see in Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7, we see Jesus's longest recorded message, which is called the Sermon on the Mount. And so it takes up two chapters in Matthew chapter 5. It's also in Luke and the other Gospels, but we're going to camp here today. And so Jesus, throughout the Sermon on the Mount, he's human in this moment. God has come in flesh and he's understanding everything that we struggle with. And in his understanding with everything that we struggle with, he's dealing with his disciples that are human. And he's looking at them and he's saying to them, he assumes that they're going to make human mistakes. All right. And so he assumes they will struggle with relationships. He assumes that they're going to struggle with money. He assumes that they're going to struggle with divorce. He assumes that they're going to struggle with sex. He assumes they're going to struggle with anger. He assumes they're going to struggle with keeping their word and more and more and more. So if you look at the Sermon on the Mount, it's very practical teaching on, listen, we are going to struggle with these things. And he teaches on all of that. And so at the very end, we're at the very end of all those teachings. And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, he's wrapping up all that different stuff. And he says, listen, I want you to hear all the things that I'm teaching you. And then now I want you to begin to put them into practice. That this is what it looks like to be a disciple, is that really we're an apprentice. We hear these things, we listen, and we move on them. So Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 24, it says this. Anyone who listens, let's stop there. There's a difference between listening and hearing. And all the wives are shaking their heads. They get it. All right, parents, they're getting it. There's a difference between listening and hearing. To listen means that you hear, you gain the information, you process it, and then you respond to it. There's an action in response to hearing something. And so this is what Jesus is saying in this passage. We'll see it even more clearly at the end. But Jesus says, anyone who listens to me does what? To my teaching, will follow it. Literally, the word there is practice, puts it into practice. So anyone who hears my teaching and follows it, practices it, is what? Wise. So if you want to be considered wise, you're going to hear the teachings of Jesus and you're going to respond to them. You're going to let them come in and you're going to let them sit over you and you're going to respond to those things like a person who builds the house on a solid rock. So that word wise, some of your translations may say wise man or wise person. That word is phronomos. Phronomos in the Greek, the original language, and it means wise man or wise person. The root of that word is this word fron. I'll translate it for, not flan, like Mexican dessert, but Phran, P-H-R-A-N, transliterated over. And that is means midriff. Like some of you are getting ready for summer, so you're strengthening your midriff. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. Pastor Chris is not doing that, okay? I may be strengthening my midriff, but not to show it off this summer, all right? We don't need none of that business. And so the midriff, but also in Hebrew thinking, not only is it the midriff, but it's the center of your thought life. So think heart, midriff. So the seat of intelligence, the seat of reasoning, your character, all those things sit here and it moves you. You respond as you listen and it changes your midriff, your gut, your heart, your intellect, your reason, and it moves you. And so hear what Jesus is saying. A wise man listens to what I'm saying. It sits in their gut and it moves them toward action, to wise actions, which then they build their life, their house, upon solid rock. Now, he's talking to an audience that's on the Sea of Galilee, and so as they're looking around them, there's sand everywhere. And so when someone in that generation, they were building a house, they looked around and sand was everywhere in Israel and the Middle East. And so one of the best ways to build a house was to not just plop it on the sand, but to actually move some of the sand and go down sometimes even several feet to find bedrock. And when you found bedrock, then you begin to build your house. Because in the Middle East, winter rains, winter storms will come. It's not a matter of if, but when they come. And so if you've built a house in a hurry and you've built it upon sand, when the rains come, you're going to wake up and you're going to have a mobile house. It's going to be moving. It's going to be gone. It will be destroyed. It will be crashed. Everything that you had built will be gone because you built in a hurry on sand. And so Jesus is saying, listen, the wise person does the preparatory work, finds the bedrock. One of the things that archaeologists have showed us over the last few generations is that there's sometimes that you can go down quite a ways in the sand and never find bedrock, or it's so deep they couldn't find it. So they would bring in basalt stone, which is volcanic rock. And so they're finding that all over the Middle East, where generations upon generations of people groups would come in and they would conquer, and there wasn't a bedrock, so they would move basalt stone on in and build upon it. They would knock down one generation's house, use it as a foundation, and even build theirs upon it. Here's what I want you to get from this, is that religion offers us a form of surface righteousness. That we can check the box, do this, don't do this, but the gospel is a marinade. The gospel is a marinade. And what I mean by that is that as we continue this journey, this life journey with God, the gospel should constantly be marinating our life, because a good marinade, if you do it right, you marinate it and it sits and it soaks and it's time. It takes time. Why? So that the marinade can literally get into every pore, into crevice, so that every single bite you get the fullness of the flavor that pops in your mouth. And this is what the gospel is that we continually, day after day after day, have to allow the gospel to saturate deep into our life, because our brokenness is deep. Our depravity is deep. It's not surface level. The stuff that we deal with, the stuff that we struggle with, is deep. And so checking boxes may work for a little bit to overcome a few things. But listen, as you know your stuff and you're here thinking about the things that you really struggle with, the source of that is deep. And the only way that that's going to get rooted out is if the gospel marinates in your soul. So that over time, the flavor of God begins to come out and not the stench of sin. Religion cannot and does not have the answers for our deepest needs. Religion cannot and does not have the answers for the deepest needs of us as humans. It just is not going to get there. We can't check boxes. It may conform us for a little bit, but transformation takes a deep, slow, long process of being marinated in the gospel. And a wise person builds their life on the foundation of the rock. Because the storms of life, the wind, the rain, the hail, the floods, they are going to come. It's not a matter of if, but when. So the question that Jesus is asking us is, where does your hope and your trust lie? In your own wisdom or in His? Your life built upon Him or our wisdom? So, a couple of things I want you to get about this idea of bedrock and cornerstone is Matthew chapter 21. Jesus asked them, he was talking to his disciples, Didn't you ever read this in the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. So as he's talking to his disciples, he's also kind of the Pharisees and the Sadducees are there. And he's saying, listen, as you guys reject me, understand God the Father knew that you were going to reject me. But he's already set me up as the cornerstone. I am the building foundation. This is prophecies that are being fulfilled. This is the Lord's doing, and it is wonderful to see. Acts 4:11, written by Luke. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, the stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. He's the foundation. Ephesians 2:20, Paul. Together, we are his house. That's us. We are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Jesus Christ himself. So this is interesting, is that in Christ, we are becoming a part of the house. So Jesus is the cornerstone. The church is built upon him. He's the cornerstone. He's the plumb line. Everything is built on him. And so even now, archaeologists, when they dig up foundations, as they begin to look around, one of the things they're looking for in the foundation is the cornerstone. Because if they find this cornerstone, most of the time there is a writing that says, hey, this is the Chaldeans from 400 BC. And it's built in the honor of so-and-so. And so here, what all the authors of the New Testament, Old Testament, and even Jesus himself is saying, listen, when they dig up the foundation and they find the cornerstone of the faith of this church, not just this church, but the church universal, they will see this cornerstone is laid. It's Jesus Christ paid for and bought by his blood and his life. That's the foundation. 1 Peter 2:4, you are coming to Christ. Everyone that's coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone. It's not a dead cornerstone. He's living. Right, of the temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you, everyone that's in Christ, you, throughout history, from Jesus on, are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. So imagine with me, Jesus is the cornerstone. It is death, burial, and resurrection. And when he's ascended, the stone is laid. It's plumbed. It's there. And everyone else that has said yes to Jesus throughout the generations, the stones have been laid, and the plumb line is according to Jesus. And so us together, we're a part of the church universal. We're part of the stones in Christ, a part of the house that God is building. And all of the works that you do, this is cool too, through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. So everything that you do is pleasing to God because Jesus is the one that says, hey, I've asked them to do it. They're doing it in my name. So let's jump back to Matthew 7:25. Though the rains come in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. Time has been taken. They've cleared away the sand. It's built strong. But anyone who hears, now go back to verse 24, what it say? Anyone who listens is wise. Anyone who hears, so maybe someone has heard it, but they didn't respond, right? They just kind of like, eh, whatever. So you hear it, the teaching, but they don't obey it, is considered a fool. Have you ever had this happen in your own life where you've known something to be true, but you say, I'm going to do it my way anyway? Anybody? So none of you have been 12, 13, 14, okay? Or maybe 33 or 43. We know some things to be true, but we think we're going to be the one that it doesn't happen to. And this is what Jesus is talking about. He's just saying, hey, listen, anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish. And they build like a person who builds their house on sand. They know the storms are coming. If they've lived there for 1 year, they know the winter rains are coming. They know that things will be washed away. They know that the terrain will be changed. And they think, you know what? I'm in a hurry. I know, but I'm just going to do it my way. I'm going to build my house here. And the next thing they know, boom, here comes the rain. Here comes the storms. And they think, I'm going to be different. So when the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Any of you have ever had playing cards and you decided to build a house of cards? And man, you're doing good. You've got it there. You got your foundation. It's going. You figured out. Maybe a couple fell off and you figured out and you finagled it and you're doing all this different stuff. And then you have a brother or sister. And they come along and they look at that work and they're like, yeah, baby. And destroy it. and it collapses with a mighty collapse. And it might as well, that house of cards, just the feeling in your heart of I've dedicated 30 minutes or an hours or whatever it is, it's just like I'm going to kill my brother or sister, right? This is that collapse. Is that you've built a house of cards and you've invested in, you've kind of finagled, you've even done some engineering, you might have even cheated and taped some or glued some. And then somebody comes along and just wipes it out. And you knew that your brother or sister, if they saw it, they were going to do exactly that. And you built it anyway. Foolishness, wasn't it? That's us. Maybe at times you've built your house of finances on sand. You've built some of your relationships. You've built a career, whatever it may be. You know in your heart right now, you're thinking about, man, I have built something in my own wisdom, at my own speed, in my own path, in my own way. And I knew the truth and I thought I would be different and I wasn't. And it collapsed and I was devastated. Even to the point that some of you have said, it would be better for me to die than to have experienced this. Because the collapse was so painful, was so embarrassing, your pride, your whatever, because you knew that you knew that you knew, you knew better, but you did it anyway. The problem is sometimes we're more embarrassed by what people think of us than what God the Father does. And we don't build our house upon the stone. So here at the end of all this, Jesus has been teaching from Matthew 5 to Matthew 7. He closes out with, listen, I've told you all these different things. Here's our opportunities for your house to collapse if you build it on sand and not on rock. And he closes it out. And then Matthew kind of gives us a final little word. And it seems like a little addendum, but it's actually important. It says this. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. And we're like, yeah, man, we've heard that before. Everybody, every time he taught, people were amazed. They're like, oh, it's awesome. And you're like, yes, the Son of God teaching. It's not just a rabbi, but the guy that wrote the words, he's actually teaching them. He knows them. They come out of him. It's his character. And so you should be amazed. But this word amazed is used in the New Testament. It's only used for this type of a thought, is that people were amazed but not moved. Hear me again. People at that audience were amazed at the teaching of the Son of God, the creator of the universe, the one whose very words created the world that we live in. They were amazed by them, but their midriff was not moved. They didn't Kavanaugh closer. It was just like, oh, wow, that's another good rabbi. Another one's coming. And so what Matthew is telling us is, listen, all these things that Jesus is teaching, they're great teachings, but unless they transform us, we can be amazed by some of these things, but unless they marinate in us and they change us from the inside out so that the flavor of God pops out of us. When the storms of life and life pushes in and squeezes us, that the junk of life doesn't come out more and more, that the stuff of God comes out of us because he is the one. The gospel is marinating our soul through and through and through. And that every single day we're saying, God, the depravity of my heart, the sickness in my soul, the weeds and all the stuff that you need to do. Today's another day to marinate this tough piece of meat. So that the gospel can do its work. For he taught with real authority, quite unlike the other teachers of religious law. My prayer for all of us is that we don't just hear, but that we listen and we obey and we moved toward him. This other idea that you hear quite a bit is that you're a disciple of Jesus. If you said yes to him, you're a disciple. And part of that is that you're a student of him. But actually a better term for us to understand, yes, you're a student, but we're actually apprentices. So Jesus didn't tell his disciples to come and sit and just listen and gain information and be like, that's going to be life changing. He said to them, you're my apprentice. Come and sit and let's talk through these things. And now let's put them into practice on the one hand so that you know on the one hand there's life and on the one hand there's death. And the only way that you can do that is by practicing it. By being an apprentice. This is an old idea. We used to, when kids would graduate 7th or 8th grade, and we kind of feel like, hey, they're done with their formal education. they would then become an apprentice. Parents would put them over to someone and they would become a blacksmith. They would become a printer. They would become whatever they were potentially going to be. And they would spend time studying with that person and learning the trade. They would get a little bit more each day, becoming comfortable. And even at some points we're told that, listen, they just didn't have the skill set or they didn't have the passion for that trade. They didn't keep going. They sent them over to someone else. Because not everybody's meant to be a blacksmith. Not everyone is meant to be a printer, but we're all apprentices to someone. And so here Jesus is saying, listen, you are my disciple. You are my apprentice. I am teaching you because life is going to happen. And when you have an opportunity to choose life or death as my apprentice, I hope more often than not that you choose life. But there's going to be moments where as my apprentice, you don't quite match up and you're going to choose death. And that's okay because the power of the gospel overcomes that. Let's come back from that. Let's repent and try again. You're my apprentice, and you and I, that's the beauty of the gospel, is that you and I for the rest of our lives are apprentices. And the master teacher, the master of all things, the King of Kings, is our master teacher, and he is constantly teaching us. And all of our failures he covers over, and he says, come back one more time. Let's try it again. Continue to marinate in the gospel. There's this old hymn that I grew up with. As I was preparing this message, it just kept almost like it was marinated, right? Just kept coming back to me. And it's this, it says, I'm not going to sing it for you, but I'll read it. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, my righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, which is the world, but wholly lean on Jesus's name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. My challenge, be a wise person. All of us are going to be launching out and you have a house to build. Take your time, move away the sand, find the bedrock of Jesus Christ and build the entirety of your life upon him. He's the solid rock. For when the big bad wolf comes, he's coming. That you can stand with assurance that the brick house that you've built, that he's built for you, will withstand the storms. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your truths that are incredibly simple. This truth is, for all of us, is probably from 2 years old to 122, makes sense. That, Father, that we should build our life and our house and all these things on a solid ground. Yes, we get it. But, Father, in our humanness, sometimes we think we're smarter and wiser. Or that maybe even sometimes that what you've taught us is too old and not even relevant anymore. Father, the simplicity of this teaching or even reminds me of the simplicity of what you said in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's real simple. There is no other way to the Father but through you. But we try other ways. Sometimes we check boxes. Sometimes we do some religious things or don't do things because whatever. Father, I pray that in this group and everyone with my voice, that we would stop being religious. But Father, if nothing else, this religious stuff that maybe we've tried, it pushes us to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that in that, we would just sit under the truth that I don't deserve salvation. I don't deserve a relationship with Jesus. I don't deserve a relationship with God the Father, the Creator. But because of your love for me, in spite of me, I can have that. And so, Father, that simple truth that all of us, none of us can do it, earn it, but you give it freely. Father, this morning, if someone hasn't said yes to receiving that gift, that today they would just put their arms out and say, I need it. I'm tired of trying in my own strength to be religious. Father, may the gospel saturate our souls. So that when life happens this week, instead of the junk of the old person sneaking out, that the gospel transforms soul, some of that will ooze out. Transform us, Father. It's in your son's name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Crosspoint Community Church podcast. It is our prayer that this message was encouraging to you as you follow Jesus. For more about Crosspoint Community Church, you can find us online at crosspointchurchtx.org. Have a great week.